Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We press on to the Psalms. We're up to the 28th Psalm right now. And this Psalm has elements that we've seen in all the other Psalms, basically. David is crying out to the Lord, and particularly for justice. So this Psalm is called Of David, which means it's the Psalm of David. And note how he starts here, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call. So David has used various ways of declaring that God is his Lord, that God is the Lord, okay? And I think sometimes we get a little too, not so much flippant, maybe a little too lazy with understanding about these kind of things, that we need to declare, Lord, you are Lord, okay? Just that declaration. So he says, I call out to you, my rock. So he declares what we've seen several times before, that the Lord is his rock. Then he says, be not deaf to me. If you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. So he's saying, God, don't turn your ear away from me. Don't be deaf to me. Don't be silent to me. In other words, I need you to respond. I need you to do something right now. If you don't, I will become like those who go down to the pit. And that term pit right there is synonymous with like a Sheol in this case. It literally means a pit or a cistern or a well. But he's not saying I'm going to get thrown into a well. I believe he's saying that God, if you don't answer me, if you don't respond to me, I'm going to be going to the pit, the Sheol. In other words, I'm going to die. Verse 2, hear the voice of my pleas for mercy. When I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. So he's saying, God, again, very similar to what we saw in the 27th Psalm, hear my voice, hear my pleas for mercy. The other translations I'm looking at say, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help. So this idea of crying out on his own behalf for the mercy of the Lord, for the help of the Lord. And then he says, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary or your holy inner sanctuary. King James says, lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. That's interesting. The lifting up of hands is a posture of worship, right? A position of worship. And he said, I'm worshiping you. And God's oracle, his voice, arose from the Holy of Holy in the presence of the Lord above the Ark of the Covenant. So he's saying, God, hear my cry. I'm lifting up. I want to hear from you. Verse 3, do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their heart. So he says, Lord, don't do this. Don't drag me off in a way that these wicked are. Don't count me among them. Don't treat me among them. And he gives a little insight into what the wicked were doing, okay, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their heart. Well, nothing new's changed related to that, right? We all have encountered that. I dare say that we've all experienced that in some way or the other, maybe receiving of it or being like that. Could it be that some of us have been like that? Oh, yes, we know it is. Word tells us such were some of you. But could some of us be like that right now? Yeah, sure, yeah. To which I would say, quit being like that. Verse 4, give to them, this is the wicked, according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due. So he's saying, God, and we've seen this already, that the Lord is the Lord of justice. The Lord is the one that will avenge us. Okay, we're not to do that ourselves. And he says, give to them, okay? May they receive their reward. Give to them according to their work. Give to them according to their evil, the evil deeds they've done. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Give them what they deserve. And you notice that give to them according to, three different times in this one verse. According to their work, according to their evil, according to their deeds, may they get what they deserve. Verse 5, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more. Folks, we deal with this same exact kind of wickedness today. Even in what we've been looking at, one of the undercurrents of our examination of the Psalms is where the scriptures talking about the heavens declare the glory and the wonder of the Lord. To look at God's creation, to look at the works of the Lord. But what's he saying right here in verse 5? They do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of your hands, of the Lord's hand. He will tear them down and build them up no more. One of the primary strategies of the evil one, particularly the last 500 years, and even more so today, is the questioning of the works of the Lord, of not regarding the works of the Lord, of absolutely rejecting that the Lord even exists, okay? And we see that in Romans 1, right? But that the Lord has created what we see in creation. And he says, you know, this is what they're doing, and God's going to deal with them. He's going to tear them down. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he's heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. So had the Lord done something between verse 5 and verse 6? Well, perhaps. You know, I think sometimes we think the psalmist just sat down and wrote these things all in one thought. Maybe, maybe not. But he's given praise to God because the Lord has heard his pleas for mercy. Verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with song I give thanks to him. Again, very much echoing what we saw in Psalm 27. He's declaring, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. I trust in him. And then you see what he does with his heart. His heart trusts because he's helped. His heart exults. And he says, I sing a song and give thanks to him. Now the last two verses, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed one. And the anointed one that we've seen so far within the Psalms, David is usually speaking of himself with, from our perspective now, very strong understanding of anointed one yet to come. Okay? Yeah, we see that sort of a messianic kind of thing. He says, so the Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge. Again, what we saw in the previous Psalm, the Lord is my saving refuge. Verse 9, oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever, or carry them always. So he's giving thanks to the Lord for answering him, apparently for rescuing him, for being his refuge. And he's saying, Lord, save all your people. Okay? Save your people and bless your heritage. Save the ones that are yet to come because of the people you've saved here. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. What does a shepherd do? Shepherd will often carry the sheep. The same way. Now, does the Lord want to be the shepherd of his people? Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Not like God's trying to hold out or anything like that. But David's just declaring this. Lord, be the shepherd. We want you to shepherd us. Psalm 28. Hey, guys, thank you for your time. I'll see you next episode. Goodbye.